from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It's a Thursday, which means it's almost a Friday. It's almost the weekend. We're glad to be with you here. On Sports Daily, it's Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester alongside you. Glad to be here. Glad to be rocking and rolling through some rain last couple of nights. We'll always take that. Hoping to, you know, eliminate some of this drought we've been dealing with, certainly. We're ready to roll today. We've got a fun show. We'll talk about that big Royals win last night, of course. They had to have it, and they got it. We'll go through it. Also going to be joined on the program by former Shocker. He's been a college baseball coach, a high school baseball coach. He's a local baseball legend, and he's joining us today to talk about a cool event coming up this weekend. That's Mike Pelfrey. Excited to have Pelf in for the first time in a little while. We'll also have our weekly Thursday visit from our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, coming top of the next hour. It's all for you here today. We'll talk about Chiefs camp, which wraps up today as well, and all kinds of long injury list for the Chiefs yesterday. We'll see if there are any takeaways from that. All kinds of good stuff for you, though. We've got the IHOP hotline open for you. It's brought to you by IHOP, and it's all-you-can-eat pancakes deal, which runs through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. Jad Chambers is manning that line for us, ready for you. We will have a giveaway for you as well today. All kinds of good stuff. Want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for fueling us right up off the top of the program here. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. Happy Thursday. Good to see you today. We've got a busy one, a lot on the agenda to get to today, and so looking forward to jumping right in.
It'll be a fun show. We do have a lot, so let's do just get right to it with the Royals. They had to have it yesterday. Absolutely had to have it. We had a very similar situation to what we saw last week against Boston, which was Brady Singer and Seth Lugo in the first two games of the series fall flat. And so Cole Ragans must come to the rescue, and that's exactly what Cole Ragans did. That biggest storyline out of that game, and there were a lot of them, I think, as we look big picture, was Cole Ragans continues to be that dude. And right now, he is that dude for this team. I know the entire body of work, Seth Lugo and Brady Singer, has been good. But those guys, I mean, let's just call it like we see it. You're not 100% confident in those guys like we were a couple months ago, which isn't, you know, surprising. Everybody's at their innings threshold, and we worried about this a little bit. Now, long term, we'll see. I assume those guys will be able to bounce back to some degree. But Cole Ragans has been that dude, and they had to have him yesterday, and they got him. He was great. 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, only 5 hits allowed. There you go, Tommy. That's your ace right there.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Seth Lugo has got the overall numbers, to be able to back up just the season that he's had overall. But as of late, Lugo hasn't been nearly as reliable as Cole Reagans has. And the thing about Reagans lately is when his back is up against the wall, when the team's backs are up against the wall collectively, Reagans has been the one to come through. You want to put the ball in the hand of Cole Reagans to lead you to a win that you've got to get to close out the series. To me, that tells me that when it comes to a potential playoff push for the Royals, let's say they're in a best of 3 series, best of 5 series, whatever it is in the playoffs, if there's a deciding game, man, you hope that everything lines up for Cole Reagans to get the start of that game.
Game one of a series right now goes to Cole.
Absolutely, 100%. But I'm talking about if you can get it through the rest of the rotation, you would really hope that deciding game gets back to Cole Reagans.
It's in all of this is as of August 15th. I think we do need to, understand that we are in the unknown with all of these guys because none of them have ever taken on this sort of workload, at least at the major league level. So you've got to look at it that way, and you got to just hope Singer and Lugo bounce back to what they were consistently, right? I mean, it's still in the tank, but you kind of need it there consistently because this team's going to need it. They've got and it's more than and this is why this is all okay to me. There was a point in this season, Tommy, where it was like all starting pitching and nothing else, it felt like. Well, now that's not nearly the same story. A, they have the most productive middle of the lineup in Major League Baseball. Like, in reality, there is not a better combination, I don't believe, than what Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino have done this year with runners in scoring position. That is their bread and butter. That's fantastic. Their lineup is about 1,000 times better than it was early in the year. And a credit to the Royals, management, everybody else for sticking with it, because a lot of that has to do with the players. They make a lot of changes there. And those guys are just doing what they brought them in to do. The bullpen, I would say the bullpen is better. Is it perfect? No. But that brings us to probably the second most important thing that happened yesterday. Urcik, another multi-inning save. I mean, they're not labor-intensive innings. He is navigating them as a closer should navigate them. And I think he clearly is now this team's closer. What's interesting is the multi-inning usage and how they manage that out. Harvey is on the shelf, and they want him back. But Will Smith, I think that little bit of trust you were willing to get there, I think is already gone. Long got into some trouble right away last night. I think it's still Bubic and Urcik in a perfect case. I think those are the guys that just look the best. And Harvey would be the other one when he comes back. But Urcik's ability to do that late in the game. And the good news is they have a day off today, so you can do it right out of the gates again. Like, if he can become that sort of Swiss Army knife for them, that's a weapon they have not had all year long. And he has been... to me, of all the additions they made at the deadline, and DeYoung's been good, and we'll see on Lorenzen, Urcik appears to be the guy who's going to have the biggest impact on this team.
Well, because I think that at this point now, it's a trust factor for sure that Quatrero has, but it's also that trust has gotten to a point with Lucas Urcik where it's almost automatic, and he's almost, I think, at the point now, and probably has solidified this. And I don't know if Matt Quatrero has spoken on this particular subject to this extent, but it's almost automatic when the game is late and it's a save situation, Urcik's going to get the call. And it doesn't matter if it's 3 outs he's got to get, 4 outs, 5 outs, maybe 6 outs. We've seen him, pitch more than one inning. He did it yesterday, 1 1/3. But I don't think that it would be out of the question, depending on his usage and pitch count that he's had in previous games, for the Royals to call on him if needed in the eighth inning, early to pitch a 2 full inning save. I think that could definitely be on the table. That's not ideal. You'd like to have, somebody, whether it's Chris Bubic, or if, you can give Will Smith the eighth if you trust him. I know Sam Long got the eighth inning yesterday. Wasn't fantastic. But until Hunter Harvey comes back, and even then, I'm not sure that that's an automatic, understanding that he gets the eighth inning. I do think that you've got to be able to lean on Urcig potentially for more than just the ninth inning. He did that yesterday. It worked out well. Of course, they had a decent cushion. They had a 3-run cushion, so that helped out, to an extent for the Royals. But that is something, to your point, that the Royals have not had. They've not had, an automatic person that you put in. I know they went to MacArthur consistently earlier in the season, and that might have been an automatic decision for Quintero for a time, but I'm not sure that anybody felt 100% confident and comfortable with MacArthur in that role, even when MacArthur was pitching at his best, because you knew he was going to put runners on base. So I think that that's definitely a positive development for the Royals when you can have that person and you just know that they're penciled into that role late in the game and that he can come in and shut it down. There's maybe been one I can think of off the top of my head outing that Lucas Urcig has had that hasn't been shut down. And even then, it wasn't like it was a bad outing. It was just he had a little bit of traffic. I can't think of one base runner.
He's been lights out. And that's not reasonable to expect that out of him either all year. That's never been what he is. But when you just look at all of it, you look at the stuff, right? The stuff, his stuff is better than everybody's. And he has control of it. What I like about Urcig is his demeanor and his attitude. That dude does not give a flip about what's going on around him. Like, and you hear it in some of the things he says, like he just has a job to do. He's glad to be able to do it. And he gets after it. He is clearly, to me, the most equipped to be this team's closer. And will be, I would think, now moving forward. The other thing, and Ken asked this question about Bobby Witt Jr. getting picked off frequently. It's the only flaw in his game right now. He's got to figure out how to be a little more. You don't want him to be conservative on the base paths, but it's going to just take experience. Right now, pitchers know how to attack him when he's out there, and he's got to figure that part of his game out. And, I assume that he will. But if that's the one flaw of a player, you're in pretty good shape. It's frustrating. Usually it's happening at a part of a game, though, where it's not like there have been a couple of times where it's been catastrophic. It was not the case last night. The other thing about Bobby Witt Jr. we get talked about is that home run, Tommy. Are you kidding me? I don't know that there's anybody else that can hit that pitch out to dead center field like that. I mean, it was
incredible. Yeah, it was incredible.
98 that high? It was a terrible pitch. It was a terrible. You would never swing at that pitch. I mean, it's a pop out 100% of the time, unless you're Bobby Witt Jr. And then that pop out turns into a home run. Wild, wild. If you did not see that home run yesterday, if you're listening to the game here on KFH, if you're out and about just kind of checking the box scores, go find it. It is absurd, that home run. Bobby Witt Jr. continues to rake. So they get the win. It's not all roses. They lost the series to Minnesota, Tommy. But man, could you imagine what we'd feel like today if they didn't get that win yesterday?
It'd be really deflating going into this weekend.
The damage is minimal here. You lose a game to the Twins in the standings. And that's the thing we talk about all the time with these head-to-head series. You just have to make sure you're not swept in the head-to-head series. Now, four-game series are a little bit different, but in these three-game series, when you're on the road, they, for whatever reason, suck in Minnesota. I don't know what it is, but you survived it, and that's okay. That's fine. Tommy, you weren't here yesterday. I think it was Rick or Ken or one of our great, video stream watchers that always comments with us, brought up the fact that the Royals would be a game under 500. And this was before yesterday. So I suppose they'd be a 500 team right now, not playing the White Sox. And I'm like, so what? The Twins would have 12 fewer losses if you took away the White Sox. Every team in baseball has beat up on the White Sox, right? It's what you do. And this we have talked about before. That is why when you look at things like that over the course of a season, that's the difference in a playoff team and a non-playoff team. There aren't ever very many teams in baseball that are much better than 500 against good teams, essentially. So when you get opportunities to go play bad teams, you have to take advantage of it. And when you get to series against the Twins or the Guardians or, Houston, you have to just sort of split those games. Right. That's the goal. You got to split those out and win a ton of the rest. The next six games for the Royals. Now, Cincinnati's not bad. Right. Cincinnati's got a got a pretty good run differential. They're only a game under 500, and it's on the road. I still feel like it's a series you got to win. And then you get the Angels, which they're bad. Like, they're definitively bad. They're 17 games under 500. So to that point, when you're watching it, like, you have to, if you're the Royals, okay, you survived Minnesota. Now you get a day off, and then you go get six games against teams that are currently not 500 or better. You've got to go take, you know, four of those games, right? Like, that's how you get to the playoffs. If we sat here and said, oh, they've got six more games against the Guardians, they got to win five out. No. You'd like to split those games, right? That's not reality. Reality for almost every team in baseball is that you try to, you know, it's kind of like the old, you try to be 500 on the road and really good at home, right? It works the same way. You kind of try to be 500 against really good teams.
They've been really good at home and not as great on the road.
And then you beat up on the bad teams, which is what they've done. And that's totally fine. That gets you to the playoffs. That's how you get to the postseason. So survival. They survived a series in a place that they have been so snake bitten with their backs absolutely against the wall for the second time now in about 10 days. Same thing as Boston. Man, Cole Reagan stepped up big. And that is such a positive development for them.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that whole stat about the White Sox and, you know, if the Royals hadn't played them, they'd be 500 this year. That's the number one reason why the American League Central has three teams in playoff contention right now, because those three teams played the White Sox and beat up on them. Cleveland, Minnesota, and Kansas City. When you've got a team that is that bad in one division, then that's, you know, a large benefactor of that, if they can win those games against a team that is not good at all, would be the better teams in that division. And I think that going into the season, of course, everybody expected the White Sox to be bad, not this bad, but bad. And I think that a lot of people expected the Guardians to be good and maybe not this good. I do think that it would be maybe a foregone conclusion that going into the season, you look at the divisional lineup and you're like, okay, yeah, Cleveland will probably beat up on Chicago. And then maybe Minnesota will. But I don't think that, I mean, actually, I know, like, nobody really expected Kansas City to be in this position and beat the White Sox at the rate that they've been beating them. So even though, yeah, they might be 500 if they hadn't played the White Sox this year, I don't think it was expected going into the year that Kansas City would have this kind of success, even against a team as bad as the White Sox. So you do take that as a positive. You don't just say, well, you know, if you wipe that off the books, then they'd be at 500. Well, no, like, I don't think that anybody expected them to win like this, even against a team as bad as Chicago. So I can guarantee you that the Royals of a year ago wouldn't have beat Chicago at the clip that they've beat them this year. So I do think that that is something to hang your hat on. I don't think you discount that and throw it in the trash just because of how bad the White Sox have been. As far as the lineup is concerned, yeah, Bobby Witt Jr., of course, is going to lead the way. But of course, I mean, yesterday, yeah, that home run he hit was great. But the Paul DeJong home run was crucial for Kansas City. And again, you want to talk about acquisitions at the trade deadline. Paul DeJong coming in, and, you know, of course, Michael Massey didn't play in the game yesterday. Adam Frazier played second, and, Paul DeJong played third. That was really important, because when you have Massey not in the lineup, you're losing pop in from a bat in the lineup. And DeJong coming in, being able to sort of fill that role, that was crucial in the game yesterday. They had to have that. They had to have him in the lineup yesterday.
Day off. Breathe, Royals fans. Here we go. It gets you a chance to reset the bullpen, and they're not going to skip starts. I don't think they should. I think that'd be the wrong thing to do. I think this series, if it tells you nothing else, it's that the starters need all the rest they can get. What I wonder too, Tommy, is at any point, do you call up Alec Marsh and occasionally go to a six-man rotation? It's tricky. And I don't know, I don't have a strong, like, lean one way or the other on this. But it's an option, right? The problem is you're in the middle of a deadlocked playoff chase. But we can't continue to see Singer and Lugo not be what they once were either. So let's think about that as we move forward in the last month and a half of the season too. At any point, do you utilize Marsh and get extra rest? They're going to get extra rest with the day off. because they're not going to skip starts. I cannot imagine they will do that unless it's the very end of the season and they have absolute, like, literal must-win games. At any point, do you call up Marsh and do you push it and give them 2 days extra rest? I think you got to start thinking about that if you're Cotraro and J.J. Piccolo.
I don't know if I would go to a six-man rotation at this point, but I'm not opposed to calling up Alec Marsh.
Not consistently.
I'm okay, but I don't think you go to even occasionally a six-man rotation. I think that you bring up – I'm okay with having Alec Marsh as a spot starter to take the place of somebody if they look fatigued. You know, if you're at a point where, man, like Seth Lugo has had two not great starts back-to-back – and is he looking tired? Does he need a little bit more rest? Does he need to skip a start in the roll through the rotation? And I'm just throwing that as a hypothetical. If you've got Alec Marsh in your back pocket, that if needed, if necessary, you can throw him out there. But then he can also be a long reliever kind of guy if you get into a situation where maybe things don't turn out well in the first couple of innings and you need somebody to eat up three or four or five innings in the middle of a game. Marsh is there to be that guy and to do that for you. So I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with having him as an additional weapon on that pitching staff, but I'm not sure at this point, even occasionally, I'm okay with a six-man rotation.
I don't have a good answer on it. I don't even have an opinion. I could easily make the case for both. I could make the case for, hey, you've got an opportunity here. Let's push him back 2 days. Or one turn through the rotation, let's make it a six-man rotation. Or just not, and letting those guys work through it. The problem we don't have and the access we don't have is to the guys and what they would tell
I think you use them more on a, not emergency basis, but more of like a last minute, hey, man, Brady Singer looks exhausted. You know, right. Marsh, you want to get the ball? And Brady, we'll come back to you the next time through the rotation. That's how I would do it. I would keep the five-man rotation, just skip the start. And again, every once in a while, if necessary, not anything that's prescribed or scheduled.
I think I'm thinking the same thing. You know, you just use him as a sixth starter to extend rest for starters. Waka and Reagans don't necessarily need that. It doesn't appear right now. So, you know, but you also want to protect them from getting to that point to some degree, but you're right in the middle of a playoff chase, right? It's not like they have this cushion and the affordability to be able to do that. So the good news is they get a day off. That builds in an extra natural day of rest that doesn't cost you anything. They'll be back in action tomorrow. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Mike Pelfrey coming on the show here a little bit in this hour, a little bit later. We'll talk about a cool fundraiser coming up. We got all kinds of good stuff coming for you here on Sports Daily today. Tim Fitzgerald joins us. Let's set up our first giveaway here, our giveaway for the day, I should say, and it's HTO. If you want to win some free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, if you want to win some free rain coffee from HTO, any of the Wichita Metro locations, either Wichita location or in Derby, all you have to do right now is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357, 20357. You can enter once a day, message and data rates apply. Don't forget tomorrow, BOGO, buy one, get one on tees to celebrate back to school at HTO. We'll be right back. Mike Pelfrey joins us and more on Sports Daily. Albrecht and Caster, don't go away. All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Let's go right to Mike Pelfrey. Well, if you're watching our video stream right now, it's pretty easy to tell where we find Mike Pelfrey on this Thursday morning. How you hitting him today, Pel?
I'm actually hitting him pretty straight. So I know that I haven't played in a couple of weeks, and I know we have that golf outing on Saturday. So I figured I should probably go out and play a little bit, so I don't embarrass myself too bad.
God, that's a great idea. Like, I have this fear that I get landed with some serious golfers. I'm just like, hang on a minute here. Charity. This is all for charity. Let's talk about this, Pelf. So you're being called a local baseball legend, which of course is true. We won't embarrass you and make you call yourself that or anything, but this is a cool event because it's not just you. It's a lot of guys. It's a lot of former Shockers. There's a big Shocker flair involved in bringing together some of the great Shockers. You know, Gene Stevenson's going to be there. Some of you guys that were players for him to come together to do, Tommy told me about this, if you've seen that event they do in Kansas City with the comedians, that softball game, it's got that feel to it. But you guys have to just look forward to that, just kind of getting the gang all back together.
No, I think it's awesome. Obviously, like you said, there's a lot of Shockers that they're former Shockers that are going to be there. A lot of good friends that'll be there, and it'll be obviously great to see them. But it's great to get together, obviously, for a really good cause, and be able to help support that, and be able to help them out as well.
Let's talk about that cause a little bit, Pelf. Shepherd's Way, helping out folks in the Wichita area with developmental disabilities and giving them opportunities to thrive and do great things in this community. So what does it mean to you to be affiliated with this organization, to be a part of this weekend where the attention, the proceeds, all of that go to help this great organization, Shepherd's Way?
Oh, well, I think when they asked me, I think it was a no-brainer on my side of it, you know, and I think we all deserve an opportunity to live a purpose-driven life and to have an opportunity. And, you know, obviously anytime you have a chance to be able to help out or to give back or do any of that stuff, I think that's the stuff that you obviously have to take advantage of. And anybody in life, you know, I'm a pretty giving person. I think anybody in life that you can help better a life or do that, whether, you know, they have a disability or whether they don't. I think you try to take advantage of those opportunities and do as much as you can to help, obviously, humanity.
Mike, it's not just that either. People can come and hang out, and there's a lot of meet and greets. There's a lot of events on this that, you know, get a chance to see a guy like Tim Tebow, which I would be curious for your perspective. You've got not just one of the great college football players of all time, but one of the great, you know, leaders and motivators in all of sports we've ever seen. You've coached, you've played it, you've coached it. What do you think of when you see things like that? What kind of skill is that, and how rare is it to see people who've been able to do something like that?
Well, obviously he was the best of best, and as you talked about, one of the greatest college football players of all time. And I know he took the Broncos to the playoffs or whatever in the NFL, and obviously played at the highest level. And you know, I think people sometimes don't fully understand how hard it is to be able to do it at that level. You know, and people think, oh, you're blessed to be able to play a game. Well, yeah, it is a game, but it's a job as well. You know, and you have to go out there and perform. And it's when you're going against the best of the best, I mean, it's hard and it's a grind and it's tough. And obviously he did it. And I'm looking forward to as well, because I know he's a great motivator. I know he's a great talker, and I'm looking forward to be able to watch him talk on, you know, Friday night as well. And then on the softball game, heck, he went and signed with the Mets for a little bit and played outfield and did that. So I'm just hoping that he doesn't embarrass me too bad that when we're playing softball. So yeah. I know he's probably he's a little younger than me, and he's in a little better shape than me.
I was going to ask you to assess his baseball game, because, you know, of course he made that shift, and I, you know, you of course have coached, so I don't know if you really got to watch much of Tim Tebow playing baseball, but he was able to make it at least in the minors.
Yeah, and I think he made it to Double A, and obviously that he has strength, right, which is a huge tool that he has and power. Obviously it's hard to just take some time off and jump in, and especially at that level, and go in there and compete against those guys. And you know, he obviously did that and was obviously successful, so pretty cool. But yes, he's strength is probably his biggest tool, which applies well when you make contact with the baseball.
Mike, what do you think? Tommy's going to get us the details on how people can get involved with this event. What is your take on the Shocker baseball program right now? Something you've obviously been very close to in multiple capacities, and I know you've been a supporter of any effort to get the program back on track. Do you feel like it is? And what is the big next step, I guess, for the new regime there?
Well, you know, I think that obviously the next step is to make a regional. But, you know, for those guys in their first year to assess them, to come in and have four or five guys on the roster, have to create a roster in June, and then they end up being one run away from making a regional. I mean, that's incredible, and that was exciting. And I know that I was sitting there watching it on my phone at my son's baseball tournament, and I've given everybody updates, and I was pumped when they came back and took the lead there late, and then obviously they get that two out walk off home run, and you know, which is a killer. But what I think, what an incredible first year. And really, I think outside of, which they'd probably tell you too, outside of 1 month, I think it was April, which wasn't very good. They had a heck of a year, really heck of a year. Great first year for the coaching staff. And I look for obviously continued success, but obviously, they would tell you too that, you know, I think their goal too is to obviously end up being back to Omaha and getting Wichita State back to Omaha. And, but like I said, they're really good dudes, really passionate. They're all baseball dudes. They all enjoy, being at Wichita State, which is fun to see, fun to be a part of.
It's been fun to watch your coaching journey and what that's looked like for you over the last several years, of course, you know, with Cape and Mount Carmel and at the high school ranks and all of that. What's that been like for you working with those kids, you know, going from a pitching coach at the college level, D1 level, to getting, you know, probably some players, I would imagine, ready for that college baseball level?
Yeah, obviously there's a little bit of talent difference and all that stuff at the high school level. A lot more teaching is involved. I think a lot more hands-on is involved. But I loved every bit of it, and I'm extremely thankful to have the opportunity to be able to coach at Capen. A bunch of really, really good kids that are very, very respectful and listen and want to get better, and just kind of looking for guidance, which is cool. And you know, I think, too, that you can – you know, have a bigger impact on a 14, 15, you know, 18 year, up to 18 year old kid versus, you know, a 19 to 22 year old kid, you know, which is awesome. So I extremely enjoyed my first year. I think we ended up falling a little short of what we probably should have done. But you know, we'll come back ready to go this year. And then, you know, the other side of it too, which is a huge thing of why I took it. My son started school there yesterday. So he's a freshman.
Whoa. All right.
So I will get to I'll get the opportunity to coach him this year, which I'm extremely extremely excited about as well.
That's incredible. I did not know that. We full disclosure, Mike and I have daughters of the same age who've been on like a volleyball team together. Is you know, is high school baseball going better than what would that have been? Third grade volleyball for you? Yeah, I think you have to step in one time.
Yes, it is. It's a little more enjoyable too than herding cats.
I wish I could describe the scene. You know, like most of the time with third grade girls, you have like the coaching at like, you know, the youth organizations and stuff. It's very sweet and calm, and then Belf had to step in like on a substitute basis one time, and it's like, get on the lot. You know, it's very aggressive. It was awesome. I loved it. It was fantastic. Belf, one more time for people that want to come see any of this. It's a great cause, right? And you guys will all be there in full force to say hi. This is a big opportunity for baseball fans to just come hang.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an opportunity for baseball fans to come out and meet some former Shockers, get to meet Tim Tebow, get to meet some other people, and come out for a great cause, be able to help some people with some developmental disabilities and stuff like that, and help them have a purpose-driven life, you know, and be able to make an impact in their life and be able to help them out. So, like I said, it's a great cause and a good opportunity, and it's a good excuse to get off the couch and to come right out and help out in the community and be able to help improve people's lives.
All right, Pelf, no three putts today.
It's too late for that. Okay. But I'll try. Jacob and Tommy, I appreciate your guys' time.
Thanks, man.
Mike Helfrich,
he'll be one of many local baseball legends out there. And Tommy, there is, and you've got the details on this.
People
can still very much get involved in this.
Yeah, it's called the All Ball Weekend, and it kicks off tomorrow and into Saturday. I think what is so incredible about what's happening this weekend is that, you know, there are so many fantastic organizations and events that go on to raise money for those organizations in this area. This is multiple events over a couple of days span. It's not just a one-time, you know, hey, couple hour thing and then you're done. I mean, it extends over the course of 2 days worth of activities that folks can be a part of. Of course, Tim Tebow at the Crown Uptown tomorrow night. He'll speak, and then there'll be a Q&A session with a lot of those local legends, as they're calling them, including Mike Pelfrey and Gene Stevenson and others. And then on Saturday, the other opportunity for the public to come out and enjoy some time is at Riverfront Stadium. In the afternoon at 4 o'clock is when the celebrity local legend softball game with some of those people that are part of the Shepherd's Way organization that have those developmental disabilities, that will take place at Riverfront Stadium before the Wind Surge game. There is a Wind Surge game after the softball game, so of course folks are encouraged to stick around for that and make it a fun afternoon and evening at the ballpark. You and I are going to be at, I think, all the events, or most of them at least.
I think so.
But the softball game, just to clarify, they're not letting you and I play. We don't get to play in the softball game, which is probably for the best. But
I'll tell you, Tommy, there can only be one reason for that. They're scared. So they don't want
to drive the overall batting average down.
They don't want us to embarrass the legends. I get it. I totally get it. You know, you don't want us to get out there and show everybody up.
But we get to host an MC.
Yeah, we'll have fun. We'll be out there giving everybody a hard time. And making it hopefully a fun event for everybody. So we'll be at all this stuff too. So, you know, if you want to get involved and just say hey to us and chop it up a little bit, we'll be out there to do that.
The website, by the way, is all-ballweekend.org. That's the website to go to find out all the information about all the events this weekend, including the Tim Tebow event tomorrow night at the Crown Uptown. All-ballweekend.org. It all goes to benefit the great organization Shepherd's Way here in Wichita.
Get it out there. We'll get that info out there to you as well. I know Tommy's been putting that out on the socials, so we'll try to get that for you as well. Come say hey. Support it. Great organization. We're going to have some fun. Do it. Thanks, Mike Pelfrey, for hopping on from the golf course. Love the ability that we have now to bring that kind of stuff to you on the video streams, which, by the way, 12 News Connected. You can watch us every day. If you're listening now and you got to get out of the car, you can listen to us on the audio on the Odyssey app. You can also watch us, 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube X. It's all available for you. It's all Brockton Castor. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side of this break.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Castor alongside you on this Thursday. Glad to be here with you. Don't forget, you've got a giveaway going for HTO right now. Text the keyword tea to 20357. Win some free tea and coffee. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Proud supporters of this program, and we are proud supporters of that club. Tommy and I, both members out there. We almost got all our kids back in school, and I am going to play a little golf. Get out there and see if I can't. My goal is to, you know, break 90. I don't know that that's going to happen this year. That would be a stretch. I'm pretty consistently in the mid-90s right now, but, you know, my scoring, we don't give anything more than a double bogey. So a total blow-up hole doesn't really get a true evaluation from you. That's what I do. But you got 36 holes to try to get it right out there at Crestview. And they are looking good, and I'm sure they're going to look even better after this little bit of rain we've been finally getting. But you can check that out. The pool will be open just a little bit longer, but a great restaurant, great clubhouse, great bar. My wife uses the tennis facilities all the time. So if you're into any of that, give Crestview a call. They got all kinds of different memberships that you can do as well, even if you don't like golf. So we appreciate their support, and give them a call. Tell them we sent you over there. Let's check in on Chiefs camp here. Chiefs camp ends today. And yesterday, on the second to last day, there was a long injury list, and it's pretty hard to keep up with injuries at camp. But the one that that certainly takes our attention is Juwan Taylor, who had to be carted off the practice field. And that's certainly not good. Adam Schefter reported later in the day that the Chiefs were, quote, not overly concerned at this time. But you kind of have to be overly concerned, only in the sense that you're already down Wanya Morris, who's trying to get back. Now Juwan Taylor's nicked up. You know, we've seen the Hollywood Brown injury. the one thing that can derail what has felt so good on the field this offseason are injuries, right? Injuries can derail everything. And so now you're already down two offensive linemen. You know Joe Tooney's coming back from injury. So that's three nicked up, we'll call it, offensive linemen. You just got to be careful here. And if your offensive line is banged up like that, Tommy, I think you have to start wondering about Patrick Mahomes the rest of the preseason, the starters the rest of the preseason. I know Andy Reid likes to play those guys, and I've never had a problem with that. But if you're down offensive linemen, your risk seems like it'll go up. But you do want Kingsley Suamataia to get reps, right? And you do want the group of starters to get as many reps together as one unit as you can. So it'll be interesting. They'll have a few decisions to make before this weekend's preseason game, which we'll get more into tomorrow. But the depth on the line's already being tested, and it goes back to the point we've been making for a long time as we've been trying to determine like who wins left tackle, who does XYZ. It's almost like attrition here. It's going to be Suamataia at this point, but you got to get Wanya Morris back because he's going to become your swing lineman. Lucas Niang's still there who can do some of the same things. So it's not panic time yet, but it does go to show you how you need about seven or eight linemen to be good throughout the course of a year.
Yeah, it does. And I think that also it lends a little bit of credibility to the thought that it might be good for the Chiefs if it does look like Juwan Taylor will miss a period of time and maybe miss some regular season games. I don't know if he will or not, but if that looks like the scenario, I wouldn't be opposed to them going and trying to pick up a free agent, you know, veteran offensive tackle just to have, because they're not going to be expensive. There are a handful of them that are still out there. Donovan Smith is still out there. He does not have a team yet. He is still a free agent. There are others. You know, David Bakhtiari is out there. You know, he's had quite a few injuries over the course of his career, but you could potentially grab him for not a lot of money and, you know, stash him away for depth. There are a handful of veteran offensive tackles that are free agents right now. Whether or not they are impact players, I mean, probably not. There's a reason why they're all still on the sidewalk waiting to be picked up. But I do think that if it does look like you're looking at a situation where depth will be a concern at offensive tackle or offensive line in general, I wouldn't be opposed to at least kicking the tires on a couple of these guys, at least with Donovan Smith. And
yeah,
I don't know how much Donovan Smith has played on the right side of the line, but at the very least, if Wanya Morris is going to miss some time, which again, I don't know if he will or not, I don't think it's bad to have somebody like that as a security blanket on the roster.
No, look, there are reasons, I suppose, that he's not there now, right? Like, there are reasons that he wouldn't be there now already. But it's I don't know. It's not time to panic, but it is time to look at it realistically and wonder about depth. Hopefully Juwan Taylor's fine. Hopefully Wanya Morris is just there being safe and he'll be ready for the regular season. I think there's very much a chance that they are fully healthy on the line at the start of the season. And at that point, you'd feel good about it, right? Because you have Morris / Niang both to really fill in just about anywhere. And so that makes you feel better. It's just, we're kind of seeing it. And we saw the same thing with the wide receivers. Yeah, we love the group and everything. And then all of a sudden Brown goes down and you're like, well, is that enough? And I just, you know, those are the kinds of things. And it's happening for not just the Chiefs. There's a lot of teams dealing with the dog days of training camp, which ends today for the Chiefs. We'll have more on the game this weekend, tomorrow, and maybe some insight on if this changes any of the playing plans for them as well. We'll come back. Hour number two starts with Tim Fitzgerald on Sports Daily. We'll talk a little K-State sports next.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, and welcome back in for hour number two here at Sports Daily. Glad to be with you on a Thursday, and that means at 10 o'clock we talk to our buddy Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. Fitz, calm before the storm continues here as we get ready for football camp. We get ready for overreactions to the minimal amount of information and video we get from practice. We were laughing at the office yesterday at, I guess, a video was out there of an Avery Johnson miss on a screen pass, which of course KU fans had a lot of fun with. But like, why do we do this to ourselves? Like, and I get it. We're all looking for content, right? But sometimes like what we take away from practice, the same way the NFL and training camp and all this stuff, we need real games. All of us do badly at this point.
I sometimes feel like we're doing a movie review from the trailer.
Yeah, you know,
we just see little snippets of it. Kansas fans are fascinated with Avery not being able to pass the ball. And I'm here to tell you, those are false hopes. The kid can sling it pretty well. Will he make mistakes? Sure, everyone does. And he'll have a learning curve, but he can chuck it. I'm just intrigued to see what this team turns out to be. They're making some changes, some tweaks to how the system runs for them. And, particularly on the offensive side, because of the new skill set Avery and some of these guys, including Dylan Edwards, bring to the table. But defensively, they're adapting to some of the more heavy run formations in this conference that have evolved. You know, I love the natural evolution of football sometimes within conferences. You build your defense around speed to slow down spread, and all of a sudden everyone's running. You got to beef back up or find solutions to that. This conference evolves a lot more, I believe, than other conferences. I think the brands of the SEC and Big Ten are pretty set. But this conference moves around, and you got to be ready to adapt. And I'm seeing K-State attempt to do that, and we'll find out if it works actually on the field.
Do you think that there's a narrative that has kind of grown throughout the course of this offseason with all of the excitement surrounding the new look offense around the Wildcats that maybe the defense has been a little overlooked, or that they're not maybe getting the attention or respect that they deserve?
Absolutely. I think this could be an incredibly skilled defense for Kansas State. They've just got some – well, first of all, they got good returning players. They've got some sound pieces that will make them a solid defense. But some of these younger guys or new guys, in the case of Jordan Riley, one of the safeties who transfers in, the coaches are raving about him. The young defensive ends are catching everyone's attention. They've got some young linebackers, including Asa Newsome, back from a catastrophic knee injury early last season. They've just got really intriguing pieces, and now they're playing with some formations with four linemen in the game to battle back against some of these big tight end heavy offenses. And I want to see that in operation and what personnel they're using in what situations, because they're going to be able to have that flexibility.
Fitz, when we look at these things that might be getting overlooked, I keep going back to the offensive line. It kind of jumped into my brain again. Yes, it was either yesterday or the day before. We see reports out of Dallas that Cooper Beebe is very likely going to be their starting center. And I'm sure if you haven't seen, it's worth finding Cooper Beebe practicing long snaps with his mom in the front yard and her giving hard counts. And it's fantastic. But I think, at least for me, and I'll only speak for myself, you forget about, as we have all the flash of what we're excited about with K-State football, we forget that they had one of the best offensive linemen in the country for a long time, and he's gone. Are they going to be good on the line? Are they a total question on the line? Like, what is the expectation for that group?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a journey of discovery. Operating without Cooper is odd. I mean, he was just part of that line for 4 years, and I mean, the heart and soul of it basically since his freshman year. So dominant. So yeah, there'll probably be some step back from where they were. There's no doubt about it. They've got some growing to do as a line. But they do return three guys that had starting experience, and they bring in Kilty from North Dakota, who, was a starter there for many years. So they've got experience out there. Now they just need to mesh as an offensive line, kind of get their choreography down so they're not tripping over each other, which is so important with line play.
I want to go back to the defense here briefly, Fitz. And last week, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I asked you about the development of Connor Riley as the co-offensive coordinator, and of course Matt Wells coming in to work on that offense with him. But I think one of the major coaches that gets overlooked all the time is Joe Klanderman, and what he has done from a stability standpoint with that defense. There hasn't been turnovers, or hasn't been turnover in the staff with the defensive coordinator, you know, since Chris Klieman, you know, promoted Klanderman back in 2020. But I don't think it gets talked about. And it goes back to my point about, you know, that defense overall, the unit being overlooked. In your assessment, what does Klanderman bring to that defense? What has he brought during his tenure at Kansas State?
Just really patient and reasoned leadership. He seems to help the defense adapt, you know, when there are changes. They went to this three-man front. Now they're going to not abandon that. They're going to evolve back to having the ability to go to a four-man front, whether that's true four down or the fourth guy standing at the end of the line will remain to be seen. But he's an incredibly bright football mind. He is the closest as a, you know, quote-unquote clone, the Klieman, because literally, I mean, they were both safeties coaches. And you know what? Having a head coach that was a defensive coordinator, a really successful one, helps you out a lot. I mean, you get a lot of guidance, although Klieman does that with the offense too. But defense is his specialty. And I think we can recognize that Joe Klanderman knows how to spot talent on the recruiting trail, knows how to zero in on it. Guys that fit his system, not just athletes or great tacklers or defenders, people that fit the system and fit the locker room. And I have no doubt in my mind that Joe Klanderman's a head coach for someone sometime, whether that's, you know, going off and leaving Manhattan or following Chris Klieman, we'll see.
What else have you seen in camp? I know it hasn't been, you guys have now had, since we talked last week, you've had more opportunities to talk to people, talk to coaches, talk to, what is, are there any themes developing that surprise you from what we expected based on the, you know, the access that, that you guys have gained?
You know,
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I think when Buddy Wyatt tells me, I ask him, how deep is he at defensive end? He said, we've got a three deep and actually another guy. So we've got seven players I want to put out there on Saturdays, which he can't. So I think going into these first couple games, keeping an eye on defensive end is going to be a lot of fun. Who's playing? What situations are they playing? They've got, you know, three redshirt freshmen and a couple sophomores that are going to be in the mix. And it's going to be – that alone is probably the – outside of, you know, what goes on with Dylan Edwards and how they're going to use him, that's probably my most exciting, my most intriguing theme for this football team.
Fitz, one of the biggest question marks during this offseason has been what will the wide receiver room look like, and who will be able to step up on the depth chart? And, you know, obviously Keegan Johnson coming in from Iowa, we talked about him, Jace Brown, and kind of the way he came on towards the end of last season. But I'm curious to know, we haven't really talked about Sterling Lockett, and it looks like, at least in camp, he's made an impact. Of course, he's got the family name. There are probably going to be lofty expectations long-term for a guy like Sterling Lockett. But is he somebody that can make an impact on this team this season?
I think so. He's going to have to earn it because there's a lot of good receivers. This is the best receiver room Chris Kleiman's had, period. He's had good receivers, but not necessarily the depth that can go five or six deep in that room. And this is it. And if Sterling can break into that, that's a pretty good sign that he's made progress. But I do want people to understand, he's a Lockett, but he doesn't have the speed, the raw speed of his older brother, Tyler. And he doesn't have the catch radius of his pops, Kevin. He's kind of in between all of that and might make him a less, I guess, spectacular playmaker, but still a really talented young man. It's taken him a while to get up to a weight to be able to play and kind of the physicality that's required even as a receiver at this level, but he's getting there. I think we'll see him in the return game at some point, if not at receiver, but I think the Lockett name of Oklahoma State count, I just love, said, seriously, another Lockett? And I responded, don't tell him about the twins, because Kevin's got two twins that are now in high school supposed to be something else. As far as I know, that'll be the end of Lockett's until we get Tyler busy. It's going to have to be like an requirement. Tyler needs to start making children. We'll take females too. And Tyler, just do what you can, man. Get out there and do it for the team.
And continue the bloodline.
Yes,
for sure. Big 12 football, Tim Fitzgerald at Life of Fitz, gopowercut.com publisher. Big 12 football, as we look at this thing holistically, we did a little of this last week with you, but we've been talking about it this week as we've gotten the polls now. We got the AP poll. No surprises there. Feels pretty fair and accurate, I think, for K-State and KU. How difficult is it going to be? I think the goal for the Big 12 is to get two teams in, but the problem the Big 12 is going to have is if it's historically it's been about two losses or fewer. There has been a year where it was where some three loss teams would have, in theory, been in or been right on the cut line. I don't know if I can envision two teams in the Big 12 with two or fewer losses this year. It's going to be really interesting to watch the committee's approach on this now with 12 teams, because they'll have to think about strength of schedule, the difficulty of the league, and maybe some of the more top heavy, because even if you put two in from the Big 12 and two in from the ACC and you're one, best of, the rest, that still leaves seven spots for the other two leagues. So I just wonder if the committee are they going to weight everybody the same as they have before, or will they feel some obligation to try to take a look at how difficult the schedule was or how competitive a conference was top to bottom?
I think the human element, we talk about computer rankings. Well, someone's got to plug in the algorithm and the starting numbers and give value to something to start with. And I think that's going to hurt the Big 12 in terms of the perception that they need to overcome. The question becomes, is the fourth team or even the fifth team in the SEC better than the second team in the Big 12? And I have a problem saying yes to that, guys. I really do. But, Jacob, back to your initial point, this conference is so competitive. It's a bunch of cannibals, and they're going to eat each other. And you easily could be a three-loss team in Arlington to play for the championship.
Totally.
And in that reflection, you almost want what happened in 22 to happen. You want an obvious team that's a playoff team losing in the Big 12 title game. So you get the automatic bid, and heck, would the Big 12 get a second team in a 12-team playoff? They got it. They got their second place team in a 4-team playoff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's tangible. But I'm of the belief that maybe we'll get some separation that we haven't seen in the Big 12 simply because 16 schools means you've got really unbalanced schedules. Some schedules will be easier than others.
But does it mean one team, and this is the other part that I keep wondering about, does it mean one team kind of has to run the table and then lose the Big 12 championship game? I mean, is that the only path in?
No, I mean, because, for example, Kansas State and Utah don't play each other. They don't hand each other a loss somewhere along the way. You could have a 12-0 team play an 11-1 team in a championship, or two 12-0
teams. Well, sure, yeah. I just don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone. Yeah, it does, because this conference has that history of, hey, I know we're perceived as lower half of the conference, but today we're going to be like a top 10 team. I mean, that's just kind of how the Big 12 has rolled for many years. Some of these teams are wildly talented, and when they put it together, they snap up and bite you on the butt on a Saturday. And that's pretty regular way of doing business in this conference. And that's why this makes this the most entertaining football conference in the country. Every game, well, hell, the stat was over the last 8 of the last 9 years, excluding that pandemic season, 50%, just a hair under 50% of the Big 12 in-conference games have been decided by a score or less. I mean, guys, that's incredibly volatile on who's moving up and down.
Fitz, you mentioned the unbalanced schedule, and you know, that's been something that I've been trying to wrap my head around for a while. And I know that the Big 12 did this a long time ago, and you had the different divisions and all of that in the Big 12. But for a while, it's been balanced for the conference. It won't be this season. That's going to obviously play a factor, whether you're talking about the actual conference standings, but specifically with the college football playoff, as they're trying to, once we get to the end of the regular season, assess who will be one of those 12 teams. I mean, how much do you think, as far as a strength of schedule scenario, that could ultimately hurt or harm some of these teams that are trying to get in?
Honestly, Tommy, I don't know, because, you know, this is literally our first rodeo as a 16-team alignment. But it could. I mean, we could see some teams with three losses that played a much tougher schedule. Who was I talking to? Was it BYU? We're doing these really fun fall camp reports with all 16 schools on our Big 12 Insiders channel. And I recorded last night with our BYU friend, Jeff Hansen. And, you know, he pointed out that they have Utah, Arizona, Kansas State, and Kansas on their schedule. It's probably the four best teams in the conference. I'm not sure on Iowa State. I might put them up there too, but that's just brutal, for particularly with Kalani Sitake fighting to keep a job. There's a lot of chance mixed in here with how good your schedules are.
All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at Go Power Cat? We're what? I don't know, like 15, 2 weeks-ish, a little more than 2 weeks away from the start of the regular season. So what can we find?
We're really cranking it up, and the more we get to football season, we have had so many interview videos and content out of that. The availability has been tremendous. I think the biggest news right now at Go Power Cat is, as of today, Ryan Gilbert, who's been with me a couple years, comes on full time as my right-hand man.
Awesome.
And he's going to do a terrific job. I think people will really love his content. He's done a great job as a mostly full-time bartender, part-time writer, which is a really incredible mix. It's handy to have a bartender on your staff.
That's always been, that was my dream when I was growing up. That's what I wanted to do.
I mean, he could move to Vegas and make a living at it, but he wants to be in sports, which probably makes less money than bartenders, or it will for him immediately.
Yeah, Fitz, there's no doubt about that part of the equation.
Yeah, so welcome to the sports journalism world, Gills. It's like a step above poverty, and you get jealous of teachers because they're paid so well.
And they don't have to work in the summer.
I know. And apparently we're going to have to work every summer with conference realignment. The world is full of injustices, Ryan Gilbert, and now you're part of that system. You're screwed, man. You're just screwed.
GoPowerCat.com. Find all that work. Congrats to Ryan Gilbert, who's hopped on with us a couple of times in your stead. Does a great job. At Life of Fitz on social media. All the best for K-State. You can find with Fitz. We'll do it again next week, and we'll be, man, we're going to be so close. I'm done with the waiting. I'm over it. Let's get to the real deal here.
Sorry if I look tired. I was up late texting with friends. Yeah. They were annoying, a couple of annoying
making jokes last night. All right, Fitz, we'll see you. Jokes not safe for air, we will call it, as we were going through some things last night. All right, Tommy, we get news on the Chiefs starters. Breaking. It's broken. We'll try to put it back together and tell you what the plan is for the Chiefs starters. Andy Reid gave that insight today. We'll have that next for you on Sports Daily.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Claster, glad to be back with you.
Start that over. Why don't we start at the beginning and go back?
Jacob Albrock, Tommy Claster, glad to be back with you here on the program. The IHOP hotline is back open now for you. 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP, and it's all you can eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Let's talk a little football and all the football coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We get Chiefs starter news, Tommy. As we sort of bring it out into the universe, we get the information. As we wondered about it with the Juwan Taylor injury, Andy Reid talks, and the plan is, as it always has been in the new three-game system, for the starters to play through the first half on Saturday against the Lions. Now, that doesn't surprise me, and I sort of anticipated that, but what we really need to see is how much do they actually play? You know what I mean? Like, is it, and I think it's, I don't,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Myself in the business of second-guessing Andy Reid's strategy for coaching in this way, for preparing his teams. Because, and I say that not just to be like dismissive of it, but because his teams work so many things now offensively to be able to use and do things late in a season. We've seen enough of it now to know that they're always setting something up. They're always working to get to something they would plan on using way down the line. And you can go back to sound for history from Patrick Mahomes being like, yeah, we started working on that in training camp or whatever it is on big plays that have happened. But what will also not surprise me if is Andy Reid quickly abandons that plan. So he says they'll play through the first half, but the reality is if they get 3-4 possessions and he works through what he wants to work through, he's going to yank them before halftime. If they don't get there, they may very well play all the way to half. That's sort of how he's always done it, and that's what we'd expect. But I would tell you, watch that offensive line. If they don't have a unit out there that they feel like is they're comfortable with protecting Patrick Mahomes, I would imagine he comes out a little earlier than planned.
Yeah, this makes me nervous. And, you know, I don't like second-guessing Andy Reid, and I know that this is what he's done in the past, especially with the 3-game preseason set. It makes me nervous because of the injuries that we've seen. And not only, and I'm not even talking really specifically about the Hollywood Brown injury, but right. with everything else that's going on, you've got Wanya Morris, you know, on the shelf for right now. You've got Juwan Taylor. Don't know the severity of that injury. So there's a lack of depth already at offensive line, which of course you would think will impact Patrick Mahomes and not having as much protection or as good of protection, you know, as he would have with both of those guys available and healthy. So that is something that concerns me. I'm going to be crossing my fingers. I think that this preseason game for me changes from me being excited to watch the Chiefs play to me watching with bated breath. And I just want to see these guys get through the first couple of possessions and get on the bench because it makes me nervous.
That's how I always feel about the preseason and training camp. For that matter, because we've seen more injuries in training camp than we have in the preseason game that has been played by far, right? We see training camp injuries every day. And this happens every year. There is no good answer for it. And of course, it's not a black and white issue. It's a gray area issue. The reality is Kingsley Suamataya needs reps at left tackle. If he is going to start the season as the Chiefs left tackle, as it appears that he will, he needs game reps.
Well, he's not going to have a choice if Wanya Morris continues, right. you know, to be injured.
But what I mean is, like, certain players need it more than others. So it's all, like, it is this, there's no perfect answer. Because you need some of your people that are maybe moving positions or being asked to do something to get these reps in. But in order to get a true representation, you kind of need them to get the reps with the other start. So it's all, like, just hold your breath, right? Like, there's no correct answer. Some teams just shut it all down and don't play their starters. That's their prerogative. Andy Reid doesn't want to do that. And I always go back to, again, the injury risk is just as high to me in training camp. Not so much normal practice, I don't think, but in training camp. At some point, you have to practice at full speed. You have to play the game at full speed. That's why we see a lot of injuries in training camp, because that's what's happening. They don't practice like that in the regular season. So you got to just get through it and hold your breath. I'll be very curious to see it, because if when we see this, it makes me think Wanya Morris might play. It makes me think certainly Juwan Taylor would play. It's okay. Like, I don't want to also take
but
all the
other thing, like to keep,
I want to see Xavier Worthy play. You want to see all these things.
Just keep this in mind also that we focused on Wanya Morris and the injury that he suffered today. Yesterday and today, it's been Juwan Taylor and his injury. Joe Tooney is, by all accounts, not 100% either. I mean, he's been working his way back from the injury that, you know, basically sidelined him for most of the offseason. So he's, I think, presumably not 100% right now either, trying to get back to game speed. So you've got an offensive line that is really, really banged up. Outside of Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, the presumed starting offensive line, Wanya Morris, I'm kind of putting in there because he split those reps early on with Sue Mataya. But there are a lot of injury issues with the offensive line.
I'm going to give you a prediction. 3 series for the starters. However long that takes, I think we'll get 3 series.
Are you good with that? Like, do you like that? Are you okay with it? I mean, I think you probably are.
If you're asking, what do you mean? From a preparation standpoint or from an injury risk standpoint?
Just, you know, is it the right thing to do? Just generally speaking, to play the starters so, 3 series.
I will say what I always say. I think they need to get the reps in for as much as their coaches feel like they need to get the reps in. I think if the players weren't comfortable with it, we're to a point in the NFL where they could make that clear, and it would probably be well received. But generally speaking, with this part of it, there are some coaches who are not good at this, right? Who are not good at being head coaches. Andy Reid is not one of them. He is a Hall of Famer in the conversation for the best that's ever done it. So I'm comfortable with, from a playing perspective, comfortable with whatever the coaching staff says, we need these reps. Now, from an injury risk perspective, here's where I probably differ, but not, it's, you usually get about a 50-50 split on this. I just inherently think the injury risk is very high in the NFL. And until somebody can show me that there are more injuries in preseason games than in training camp practices, I think it's irrelevant. I think the injury risk is just really high this time of year in general. So I don't think it matters as much as we want to think it matters, right? I think it's you're risking injury by going hard at training camp. Now, some of that gets mitigated, really, and that's the point here, I think. After training camp, which ends today, you have this game, and then that's kind of it for this intensive preparation. And then you can really cool it. So, you know, once you get to that, it's camp.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the thing is, like, if you're worried about an injury risk, which is an okay thing to be worried about, don't just shut them down in the preseason game. Shut them down in training camp. Just be shut down until the season starts altogether.
I do think that you have to weigh the importance of the risk of injury versus the preparation benefit. You have to weigh that.
Well, sure.
I'm not saying that preparation isn't important. It absolutely is. But I'm not sure that in this, it's a case-by-case basis. Each team is going to be different with the personnel that they have. And I'm only talking offensively for Kansas City. When you're looking at the starters only, I don't believe that the potential benefit of additional preparation and reps outweighs the potential risk of the injury. Because if you look at I'm talking simply the starters. I'm not going further down the depth chart, but simply the starters that the Chiefs have. There are two starters out of that offense that didn't play with the team last year. Xavier Worthy and Kingsley Suamataya. That's it. There are not free agents that are there, because I'm not counting Hollywood Brown. He's not going to play regardless. So there are two starters offensively that are unfamiliar with that offense out of the 11 guys on the field.
I agree with that, but there are a lot more than that being asked to do different things, which I do think is also a little bit important. So, like, for instance, if Wanya Morris were to play, he's probably going to be asked to do something he wasn't asked to do last year. If, you know, Rashee Rice, I think you have repetition. His role goes unchanged, most likely. Travis Kelce goes unchanged. All the other receivers,
Isaiah Pacheco, even the guys, unchanged, I think.
Yeah, Isaiah, I you want to talk about, if I will give you my line in the sand, I would not let Isaiah Pacheco touch the field in the preseason. Period, full stop. That won't do that, but that's just me. Now, you might want him in there for pass pro, just to be safe for Patrick Mahomes, but I would not play him because I don't think there's much he needs to go. The running backs, that's why we see rookies succeed so often as running backs, at least from what I've always heard from evaluators and executives when they get out of the game, is because it doesn't change all that much for a running back outside of pass protection. What they do is pretty similar to what they've always done. But for these receivers, even if you look at Kadarius Toney, who's been hurt anyway, he's being asked to do something different. Sky Moore's playing for a job,
I don't have an issue with that. I mean, Kadarius Toney, I think more than anybody else, has to show quite a bit to
needs
be able
the reps,
to,
right?
to
he get. Needs the reps.
Yeah, so I'm not arguing that. I'm simply talking about the starters that Andy Reid said that they were going to be playing
because
in the
right
first
now
half.
We feel like Justin Watson's going to be a starter, right? So does he not play now? Which I could make a case for.
Yeah, I don't. I mean
because he's going to be a starter most likely at least in week one.
But he's got familiarity with the offense. They might be asking him to do a different role or step up or whatever.
No, but I mean,
he's got familiarity
but
with the offense.
You've got to think of him now as
starter. Here's
so
another example. I would have no problem at all if the Atlanta Falcons in the preseason said, we've got to play Kirk Cousins and that offense a lot in the preseason because it's a brand new quarterback, a brand new offense, brand new coach, all of those things. We need the reps before the regular season. And whatever those risks are injury-wise, that probably, that doesn't, you know, outweigh the necessary preparation that we need to have offensively to get this unit to gel. The Chiefs' offense, by and large, the starters gel. There's been continuity in the offensive coordinator. There's continuity in the quarterback. The majority of the wide receivers, especially now that Hollywood Brown is hurt, outside of Xavier Worthy, all of those wide receivers that are probably going to be playing have been a part of camp before. They've been a part of that offense, even going down the depth chart. Like, you go all the way, I mean, even past, like, Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, you know, those other guys that are, Justin Ross has been a part of the team before. Watson's been a part of the team. Like, they all have. Denerick Prince, the third string running back, has been a part of the team. There's so much continuity that I really don't think that you've got a whole lot of rust there. I don't think that the risk of injury outweighs that.
I agree with that. And I think this is what I mean. Every situation is different. Every team is different. I will say, though, and I have predicted this and I'll stick to it, I do think the offense will look completely different than it has the last 2 years.
It might.
I think it very well might. I think it will feel like an entirely different.
It might be different.
So that again, like, I don't think they're going to end up playing more than three series, whether it's first half, whether it's first quarter, whether it's whatever, but it's all black and white. I mean, it's not black and white, I should say. It's all gray area. Kingsley Suamataya needs as many reps as he can get. He has got to protect your quarterback's blind side. You would think now for the entire season, he needs to be out there. There's a trickle effect. If he's going to be out there, you'd like him to be working with the group he's going to be working with in the regular season to get a true representation of what he's going to be asked to do. So that's what it's an impossible equation. If you play your left tackle that's never done it, you'd like to have the other guys he's going to be working with in there, right? You'd like to have, so he can learn Patrick Mahomes' movements in the pockets and feel those things in a game, so he can know if he's going to need to bail out or what another guy next to him's style is. Like, all of that stuff goes into it. So the point for me is there is absolutely no perfect equation to this. I don't think there's a great way to do it other than universally cut the amount of preseason games that there are, so everybody's got the same, you know, starting playing field, every team, and then you just cut it back that way. But again, and I really don't know this, but I would be stunned if there is anything but a marginal difference in the number of injuries in a preseason game versus a training camp practice. I think it's about the same. That's a guess. I don't have that information, but I would guess that. So I think for me in general, when I get to this time of year, July and into August, it is a hold your breath situation, but there is injury in football, and it can come anytime. And it's just when you're in training camp and playing preseason games, it's going to be there no matter what. So you hope for the best, and I do hope for the best, but that is the information we get today. Andy Reid says first half, which is what they always, well, at least what he always says in the three game scenario. I'll bet you they don't. I would put money on that. I'll bet you they don't play in the entire first half. And if they do, we hold our breath and we hope for no serious injury. Look, I mean, the reality is, Ty, if you come out of the preseason and the Hollywood Brown thing is the worst thing that has happened to your team, and this is what kind of sucks and why injuries are the worst, you haven't had a bad, you know, preseason, offseason, whatever. Look at the Vikings. Lordy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But that by all accounts, they don't even know when that happened. They think that may have happened in practice. So it's like, I don't know. You gotta just try to get here. We can't get to the regular season soon enough, or really after Saturday, because I think they'll tone it way down after Saturday across the board. We'll all be watching left tackle, I think, more than anything else. And hopefully Juwan Taylor and Wanya Morris can get in there too. But that game is Saturday. It'll come right here on the Odyssey family. Want to come back? We will talk. Did you see the idea for Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers and who he has offered to be he's offered to be a coach on his staff? It's really interesting. And I don't get into this wormhole very often, but I am intrigued by this. We'll get into that next on Sports Daily.
.75 and 1240 KFH.
right, there you go, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you. If you can't listen to us on the air here on KFH, you can always listen with the Odyssey app. Just download the app or visit odyssey.com and search for KFH. Here's a cool feature that I didn't know about that we were looking at this morning that we learned about Tommy. So if you go to the Odyssey app and you download and you listen to the show that way, you get a really cool thing right there on the home screen. When you go to this, there's a little microphone on there. Now, apparently that allows people, you can hit that and you can leave like a voice message that would go to Jad, and then Jad would have the ability to take that voice message out over the air. So as we always talk about the interactivity of this program, there are lots of ways you can do it. You can go the old fashioned way and call the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. You can go the way a lot of our great listeners do, which is to leave your comments on some of our video streams. You can do that through the Facebook, the YouTube, and the X streams. We have comments right now. Anthony's been interacting with us on Facebook, Ken on YouTube. So you can do that as well. You can also watch on 12 News Connected and just send us a message on social media or email us. But so what this would do is, if you want to like get your thought out and have a call, essentially, without being able to call live, just hit that thing, give us a little voice message and send it. And then we can either, Jad can either listen to that and relay the message to us, or I think, Tommy, we can just take those straight over the air. It's almost like a voicemail the show.
Yeah, the funny thing about that is that if you want to do it that way, and I think people probably should and try that out, we don't have the opportunity to like tell you that you're wrong. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you that you're wrong while you're talking to me live. Like, of course, we'd be able to listen to it back and let you know, but not that you would be wrong. But I'm just saying, like, you can kind of avoid that live, you know, interaction in that way. If you don't really want to call in or whatever, you can just leave that message. We'll get it right away. That cool little interactivity there, I think, makes things a lot better, a lot more fun. The cool thing about it is all these different ways to interact with us on the show. There's no reason why you shouldn't. And you can either do it live on the phone, you can do it online. There are really cool ways. And now with the Odyssey app, with that talkback feature, that's pretty awesome.
We love it. So try it out. Give it a test run, somebody, and we'll do it. All right, Tommy, last little story here that it piqued our interest. Jim Harbaugh says he's offered a job to Colin Kaepernick as a coach on his staff. I guess smart idea. Nobody's gotten the best out of Colin Kaepernick like Jim Harbaugh. He obviously loved everything about him. He took a big risk bringing him in. Alex Smith, the first time Alex Smith sort of got pushed away. And they put it all on the line and took him to a Super Bowl. They didn't win it, but he took him to a Super Bowl. Jim Harbaugh knows Colin Kaepernick and knows his skill set well. So it doesn't surprise me that he would do this. I think it's, you know, so I got no issue with it. But the more I see of Harbaugh, we had something on K-Witch, I'm anchoring a show, and we'll get snippets from the national network to kind of promote their CBS NFL on CBS coverage. And we ran a soundbite yesterday from Jim Nantz, and he was asked, like, who does he think could, you know, surprise or whatever. He's pretty fired up about the Chargers and thinks they're going to do something. Now, we've seen the Justin Herbert injury, but I've kind of getting the same feel. I think this Harbaugh thing is going to work, Tommy. Now, I don't know if it works like immediately this year. We'll see what Justin Herbert's thing is, and they have like nothing at wide receiver anymore. But in general terms, I think this is going to work. I think it's going to be the right fit, and they're going to be, you know, very relevant again, maybe as soon as this year, but in the near future for sure.
Yeah, I don't doubt Jim Harbaugh and his abilities. I doubt the Chargers.
Especially when he's got Herbert.
I doubt the Chargers organization. And that's right, just a fool me once, you know, shame on you,
but
fool me twice, shame on me.
Doesn't Harbaugh get bigger? Isn't he one of those coaches that sort of gets bigger than that? You know what I mean? Like if you've had, you know, if you've had struggles and failures at an organization, that's one thing. But Harbaugh's the kind of guy that gets a little bigger. It's like when the Cowboys brought in Bill Parcells to some degree. They've sort of like teetered around and they couldn't quite get it right. They were organizationally making a lot of bad decisions. Then Bill Parcells comes in and really gets things stabilized for the organization. It kind of feels like that to me.
I certainly think it helps. I mean, you know, just looking at what he's done over the course of his career, turned Michigan into a national champion, took the 49ers to a Super Bowl, turned around Stanford, who they've been completely irrelevant ever since he left for the most part. So yeah, like Harbaugh has that ability to do that. I don't doubt him at all. I think people, give him a hard time because he's quirky and he says weird things and acts weird in, you know, sometimes. And then, of course, all the Michigan drama and the way he left, that doesn't help the situation either.
But from a
football IQ and team building, culture building standpoint, Harbaugh is one of, if not the best, that's done it in probably this generation. So I do think that ability is there. And so that's the best thing that the Chargers absolutely could have done was land Jim Harbaugh. I just have to see it to believe it because know the organization that he's going into, and they always have overpromised and underdelivered. Always.
And I will say, as somebody who has observed them very closely, there was about an 8-7 or they are, you went about snake bitten with injury. And that could trickle down into organizational with, you know, their ability and their team doctors. I have no idea. But
there's been a lot of controversy with their team doctors over the years, too. So
injuries, my Lord, because my wife is a Chargers fan and less so now, but used to be like we didn't miss a game and like just snake bit. And recently snake bitten by some of the worst in-game head coaching I've ever seen, two in a row. So we'll see. I think generally speaking, they got it right. And, you know, I am curious about that. I say this all the time. I want great quarterback play. I want Justin Herbert to be as great as he can be.
Got to be healthy.
You got to be healthy, right. And I think Harbaugh can help him otherwise. All right, we'll come back. We'll get you teed up for the day on the network when we wrap up Sports Daily right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.